Okay, at this time, the call is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you would disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may now continue.
Well, first of all,
you Warren.
Thanks, James. First of all, this is Warren, and I wanted to start by thanking Chris for jumping in and taking over the co-leadership role that had remained vacant. So thank you, Chris, for jumping right into things.
Not a problem.
A little while back, I had distributed an agenda for the WG4 as well as two documents, one that sort of put to paper some of the framework issues we had been working on, and the second was a proposed timeline for deliverables. So before we get started, does anybody want to add additional items to the agenda?
Deathly silence.
Okay. Well, I'm all right. I mean, they may come out in the midst of discussing some of these things. So, you know, I think the first thing is if we look at the methodology document, brief methodology document, do people have commentary on it or on any of the sections therein, things that we want to change before we sort of make this final and approve?
Warren, this is the thing called
Subteam 4 framework.
Subteam 4 framework, yeah.
That's right.
This is Larry. I want to make sure I've got the right document. I've got one that's called Subteam 4 that then the headings are background, Subteam 4 objective, existing mechanisms.
That's exactly it.
Got it.
And then there was a second document, which was Subteam 4 timeline doc.
I have that as well.
Yeah. So those are really the two brief documents that we're working on off of right now. And, you know, if we just walk through them, I mean, I think, again, we tried to do this all in the context of Section 9.1. But, you know, if we look at the I think we've outlined the existing mechanisms. You know, there are three. Right, and we can go into detail about extracting information or cases from each of these. There were, as everybody knows, some proposed additional mechanisms, and we can look at the validity of those additional mechanisms and why nothing necessarily transpired based on that the report of the Boston Consulting Group. There was some back and forth on evaluation criteria. You know, by what definition do we determine if something is transparent or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this took us back to some of, in the thread, this took us back to some of the conversations about, you know, transparency is not necessarily, and accountability is not necessarily defined by sort of publishing something pre a decision and publishing something post a decision, mm-hmm. but being transparent about what transpires in the decision-making room itself, right, and what forces were brought to bear. And I sort of, we discussed in the thread at least some reasonableness test for transparency and accountability, and we tried to capture that in the document as well. And then moving forward, you know, the task would be to sort of answer all of these questions and to put pen to paper, extract some of the information and put it down, make sure we're coordinating it well with work of Berkman, where they intersect us, and of course they do around the review panel and the XXX decision, right? So, you know, well, we could extract some initial work that sort of lays out the time frame, the costs associated with it, the process. I think some of the more detailed work is going to come out of the Berkman process and their interviews.
This is Brian. Yeah, you're right about that. Clearly, they're going to look at .XXX, but they also signaled very clearly to me when Manal and I, when we had a call with them, they intend to give us broader feedback as well. I mean, they're looking at the totality of 9.1,
right.
And they very well likely come back to us with some hypotheses or suggestions in the near term that are non-XXX specific. So I'm hoping that that's in fact the case and we can use that work as it comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I actually expect that a lot of what we're sort of trying to do is going to be covered in greater detail and with greater, you know, input that through Berkman than some of the work that we'll be able to do. We can incorporate the community input. We can go back to the ombudsman. We can plow through a variety of the documentation and letters that have gone back and forth over time on some of these mechanisms. But I agree. I think a lot of it's going to dovetail with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Warren, it's Chris. Can I just have a couple of things that I appreciate that I'm not maybe not as up to date as everybody else, but I've got a couple of things or perhaps questions or thoughts, and I agree with what everyone said so far. First of all, just on the document itself, the method, the framework, I'm fine with it. Subject only, I think, to us all agreeing that as we go through this process, we may find we need to change it. I'd hate to go through the process and discover that we could, you know, that the framework doesn't suit our requirements, and then say, "Oh, well, we can't change it." So I just, you know, make that point. And secondly, I've got a question about the proposed mechanisms that were put forward by the Boston Consulting Group. So I'm not clear that they are actually necessarily part of this working group's remit. Isn't the way that they were dealt with more part of Working Group 1, looking at the way the board works, and the way that the board dealt with the recommendations of the consulting group, rather than looking at two mechanisms that are not in existence? Question.
Well, I think let me take a stab at the first question. I look at this as a living and breathing document. It is a framework, and you know, we may have to add on to the framework or, you know, subtly alter it depending on the transpiring of events. So unless there are any other comments or objections, I think, you know, I agree with that position.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have any comments or objections on that front?
No.
Okay, then on the Boston Consulting Group study, I guess you could read it two other ways, I mean a couple of different ways. Certainly in looking at that, there were recommendations on mechanisms for the community to relook at a decision made by the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that particular circumstance, I think it would come under the purview of WG4. Although I'm sure there's sections of it, and I have to just, you know, go through it again and jog my memory, there may be sections of it that would apply to sort of the inner workings of the board performance itself.
The objective of this working group, which is the second paragraph or sub-team, the second paragraph of your document, is that an objective that was agreed by the review team generally, or is that a suggested objective for this working group that comes from you?
I think this was agreed upon by the ATRT in general.
In that case, if the ATRT has agreed that that's the objective, that's fine. I just wanted to double-check, that's all.
Again, I'll open it up to additional commentary. But I think if you do look at those documents, I suppose we could interpret them in a couple of different ways. I think in our look at it, we said, well, these were, you know, partly about the reconsideration of decision making, as opposed to sort of the quality of board decisions, et cetera. And again, it was this whole process of being able to come back and perhaps alter something that was decided upon. And then what's happened with them is a broad question. I think there are overlaps, though, some of these working groups are going to have points that touch upon each other. As much as we've tried to divide it into four, there are definitely things that are going to reach back. So I think we're within our purview here if we stick to taking a look at the Boston Consulting Group findings within the WG4.
So, hey, Warren, this is Larry. By the way, is this music bothering people? I can try to get away from it. I'm outdoors. But
no issues for me.
It's adding a delightful background to your sonorous tones, Larry.
Okay, cool. Maybe it'll add to the credibility of the comments. Two things. One is, I think that as a group, we should absolutely feel free to evaluate possible review mechanisms, wherever they came from. Now, I would not see our role as evaluating whether the board should have adopted something from Boston Consulting Group a year or two ago. But I think that we want to take a de novo look at the actual process, I think we absolutely ought to do that. And then on the broader question of how we interact with other groups, yeah, there's overlap. I mean, one of the issues I was going to raise is that obviously the need for a review mechanism may well be lessened by, you know, board membership being handled a different way, by the board issuing opinions that have far more detail in them. Those are all things I think that are within the ambit of Group 1, but I would hope that as we put our reports together, we can certainly, if they come back with recommendations in that area, we can certainly rely on that and think that we think that will have a positive effect on the credibility of overall decisions and should reduce the need for anybody to need an independent review mechanism. But I don't think it's within our purview to make those recommendations ourselves.
It's a really interesting point, Larry. In fact, James and I and a few others of amongst us were looking at a recent decision by an arm of the U.S. government, and it was really interesting to look at it and look at both the pro and con decisions. I mean, you got really the total detail of the those that were in favor of the decision and the dissenting views, right? And, you know, sort of the conclusion that some of us came to internally was that that mechanism would be very helpful within the ICANN environment, because it does have the effect of cutting away a lot of the lack of clarity about what was actually taking place and what was the thought process.
Mm.
So in looking at the framework document, does anybody want to add anything to this document? I mean, they can do it after the fact, but it is out there. I mean, I think if we all approve, then we'll start diving into, moving this document with additional detail back and forth, putting some of the answers to it. I think, we want to talk to additional people as long as everybody agrees on this framework and agrees that, as Chris said, that we can make some alterations as we go forward, as long as we document it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
Okay. Then I wanted to touch base also on the time frame, and I think this was something that we needed to be able to provide as well to the larger ATRT. And so we sort of broken this up into the realistic parts based on various time frames. So in August, any issues with sort of the August time frame? You know, we've got Fiona's document. We've got feedback from Brussels. We're going to be requesting additional information from the Ombudsman. There are requests from ICANN staff. And maybe, Brian, you could answer an earlier thread that appeared about the status of certain documentation that Chris had brought up in an earlier thread?
Yeah, actually, in part, Denise Michelle had sent an email that provides some of the responses to your list of questions, Chris, in terms of documents that were requested and what the status is. There were also a number of requests that you made about specific calls and transcripts and meetings, and I'm going to talk to Alice about that part of your list of questions as well tomorrow and get you a holistic answer. But we should have at least part of your answer in terms of Denise having provided an update with regard to the outstanding requested documents.
Thanks.
I mean, I think, Brian, this brings up an interesting question on a larger ATRT front, which is, you can jar my recollection, but many of these documents were requested at the very outset of this in Marina Del Rey, right?
Correct.
So what has been the lag?
Oh, Warren.
Yeah. No, I mean, I asked.
Let me count the ways.
No, it's a fair question, and we asked in the meetings in Brussels. We asked Denise in that meeting,
and I want it on the record. That. Frankly,
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing with you.
Yeah, no, we asked Denise in the Brussels meeting to provide an update on that outstanding list of requested documents, and she provided an update. I think it's really incumbent on staff to provide on the record the status and the updates to the documentation. And this is, again, in parallel, you've heard me, and I believe with the support of the review team, asking again and again that we need a resource and a single set of eyes, and we need to have a holistic library management approach to this exercise. These are outstanding questions. Staff needs to come back and provide answers to that on the record, and on the next call we can have that done.
Okay. I think my question, the questions I, at least in part, some of the questions I sent out yesterday, I mean, I think they do put it on the record in the sense that I'm saying, yep, here I am, but I haven't got this stuff. Has anyone else got it? And the answer is no. So,
right. No, I was glad that you did.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did ask. I'm sorry, Chris. Please finish your thought.
No. Carry on, Brian.
I did when we spoke to Berkman. I did take the opportunity in talking to Urs and his team to note that we were looking for this type of a resource, and that Peter had been asked, and that ICANN staff resources were being provided. But I noted that I felt very strongly we need a single set of eyes, and if Berkman could provide a resource, whether it's a second or third year law student or even another resource on their team. They are, as a matter of fact, and are in the course of building their own research library for the research they've done and they're going to complete, but he's going to come back to me with a suggestion on that, so I'm hopeful. And if you recall, we did have a line item in the budget. I think it was for about $20,000. It wasn't a lot, but it was, again, one of these, can we get a third-year law student or a paralegal-type person for 2 or 3 months to take on this task? And I'm hoping to get a useful suggestion from Berkman that we can take them up on as well.
Do you want to rely on that, Brian, or do you want to put out some other feelers as well, just in case that falls in a heap?
I think there's no harm with putting out feelers, Chris. If you have a resource you think you can tap, I think all the candidates we can get lined up in the short term would be worthwhile.
All right. Is there a short paragraph anywhere that says this person would do the following?
You'll have one in a matter of hours.
Thanks. Sorry, Warren, we sidetracked you there.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So I think we've got, you know what?
Warren, can I come back to the document? You asked for suggested changes to the document.
Yes.
I think this is assumed, but is this document going to incorporate the suggestions and comments from the community that were specific to working group number 4?
Yeah, it will, and we'll take Fiona's document and the information that, you know, Olaf has sent out and then incorporate that into it.
Okay, thanks.
So I think in terms of August and being able to present a progress report in Beijing that will be in decent shape. I mean, James and I have some work to do, and we'll elicit the support of the rest of the team as we do that, but I think we should be okay to provide progress on that in Beijing. Of course, James and I will be doing that remotely. Chris, if you're going to be there, then, you know, I'll rely on you as co-lead to be the face of the WG4 leadership.
Not a problem.
In Beijing.
Do you have a list of? You say you're going to be doing some work. Do you have a sort of list of what those things are going to be?
No, we owe it. We'll all owe it to you.
Okay.
Actually, I could jump in there, Warren. So this is James. I'm putting together a matrix, Chris, of all the different, really specific criteria down the one side and the mechanisms down the other side, and then we can start to build out some findings from there.
Because I'm assuming that we're going to be doing things like, you know, arranging to speak to Frank Fowley again and contacting someone, presumably JJ, to find out where on the ICANN website the reconsideration documents are, because I'm stuffed if I can find them. That sort of thing.
Yeah, we'll get it all sort of put down on paper so we have the list that we're working off of.
Can I ask a question on that? And I guess it comes back to the recent reply I gave to Alice wearing my other work team chair hat on the layout for our work team spaces. And I asked Alice if we're the wikis she's referring to is likely to be the clunky old social text ones that we've all grown to probably hate, but nevertheless work with, or the new easy-to-use, can put up anything anywhere as long as you can log in and it's all interactive and lovely Confluence ones. And I'm clearly biased to the latter. It would make each of the work team's members, far more easy to collaborate if we instructed staff that, seeing as everything will be moving to the weird and wonderful world of Confluence anyway, that we may as well start up in that system.
Well, I don't have an answer to that, Cheryl.
No, it's a question to ask. That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that Alice's commentary went out to everybody about the choices, and I think it's fair to respond to that, you know, anybody from the organization or, you know, maybe Brian, you want to touch base. I mean, I'll work within any framework they give us, you know, because we have a time frame here, and as we've all seen, these time frames tend to, you know, drift. And while that may be, you know, the sort of modus operandi of ICANN thus far, I don't think we want to fit into that particular model. So whatever technology they give us to do it, I think we're going to just have to fit ourselves into.
Okay. It's just that obviously what we want to be doing is going to be in the community view, and the more accessible and readable and yet controllable from our perspective it is. You know, we don't want, which happens on the social text, the spam and other stuff to come in. We want it to have a certain level of professionalism as well.
Absolutely. I bet you could send that message out to Alice and get a response there, Cheryl.
Well, I had actually asked that question in reply to her, which of the three choices do you want?
Okay.
I said, and you talk about Wiki, which one? And it might be a bias. If Brian maybe could, you know, do a little gentle shoving to encourage the response to that to come back sooner rather than later would be good.
Got it.
Okay. So, you know, we'll have enough material together, I think, for a progress report in Beijing and then regroup in Beijing on sort of our September deliverables that we've outlined and then the integration with Berkman in October. At that sort of halfway point. Does that timeline make sense to everybody? I mean, I know it's fairly sparse in terms of detail, but I don't think we have a great deal of detail to add to it at this juncture.
I think that's right, Warren. I think it's the best we can do at the moment. Obviously, a not insignificant chunk of stuff that this working group is going to be dealing with is dependent to a degree on the input from Berkman. So
yeah.
We're going to have to be a bit flexible, but I think the timeline you apparently got set out there is workable, provided we get do two things happen: one, that we work, and
yeah.
two, that we actually get timely responses to our requests from the people that we need to request things from.
Well, I think we can do we'll be able to do a fairly good job on the first part of that question, Chris, and be able to do some work and collaborate via email and share the documentation around, and we will get you and the rest of the team a matrix very shortly. I think the second one's going to be tough. I mean, we know that, you know, some of these things are difficult, so we'll just have to roll with the punches as we try to extract information, and some of it will be, you know, our own sort of research of digging into documentation that we can find and has been made available on the ICANN site, et cetera, to pull out to extract some of the information. So I think we're in much more control of item one than we are of item two.
Okay.
So I think I think the biggest thing is for James and I to get out sort of the working doc, and again, people can comment on it, add to it, so that we have a fleshed out work document that will help us meet the timeline.
Yeah. Can we? One of the working groups, I think it's number one, has started to produce a review of the comments specific to that working group's work, community comments, I mean. I'm wondering whether it might be worthwhile us trying to do the same thing so that we actually have, from the huge stack of comments, we can concentrate on the ones that are relevant to us.
Well, I guess that was kind of my question is, will that become another paragraph or module of this document? Here's the comments received from the community, a summary on them, the issues that they're framing up. Is that the intention, Warren?
Yeah, I think that was our point, that we would extract from that documentation and add it as an appendix to the framework.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I must have misunderstood that. Thanks. Good.
Yeah. you know, I have one other sort of general ATRT question that I'm going to jump. I know we don't have a call scheduled this week, but I wanted to get it out of Brian. But if anybody has some, you know, WG4 specific questions, then I'll open it up for that. If they don't, then, you know, James and I will respond in the next couple of days with our matrix to get things moving forward. But I do have another ATRT general question I think that's important to all of us.
Warren, actually, before you jump there, it's Brian. Can I ask one more question on WG4?
Of course.
What's the form that you envision of the work product that WG4 will bring into Beijing? Is it a progress of the analysis of the questions as framed? Let me make a suggestion. What Berkman said they would probably deliver to us in part in Beijing is what they're calling working hypotheses. They've done some research already on the intended case studies, and because of the shortness of time, you know, and I said very clearly, we think midterm report could be a deliverable toward the end of the second, near the middle of the second week of September, because we've lost some time on the front end. What do you think the working group would deliver in Beijing? I thought the working hypotheses approach was an interesting approach because it's you're framing what you think the issue is, you're beginning to sketch out what the possible solutions are, but you're also road mapping some of the holes that you're going to need to fill in terms of facts and analysis to either prove or disprove the hypothesis. What form do you think this work will take into Beijing?
Well, what I was looking at was two parts. One was, here's sort of our master list of work, and here's what we've accomplished to date, right? So we know what's done, and we know what still has to be done. And in each one of those, you could have phases, right? And then the second piece of it was really looking at sort of the questions that we've outlined in the framework and at least sort of initial interim answers. Meaning, here was the question, here was the consideration, here's what we looked at, and here's perhaps what we think so far. And it's subject to the completion of additional work, but this is the direction we're moving. I don't think that's too different from working hypotheses. You know, we've raised a bunch of questions in our framework doc, and I think we can at least give indications of the direction that we're moving in from the material or discussions or commentary that we've seen thus far.
That does make sense, and that would assume also that as we integrate the comments from the community into this document, that there may be additional sets of questions or developing hypotheses that arise out of that as well.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would frame it probably as sort of interim responses because, you know, there would still be work to be done.
Certainly. Makes sense.
Anything else from the group?
If you're ready for something specific on the working group, there is one other issue I wanted to raise that I'm actually quite willing to volunteer to wrestle to the ground, and that's this question of what legal limits are there on the board in terms of selecting and implementing any kind of review mechanism. We heard in Marina Del Rey some concern of the impacts of California law and that might limit the board in terms of delegating some of its ultimate power in an inappropriate way. It does seem that we need to get our arms around that issue as we look at some of these options. And again, I'm happy to come take that as an assignment and come back with something more specific in terms of the extent to which California law does or does not limit the board in selecting one of these options.
Larry, I think, you know, that would be excellent, and we'll take your volunteer, you know, the spirit of volunteerism.
I think
this is a really interesting point for the, you know, the existing independent review panel in general or other mechanisms, because what we did here in Marina Del Rey was, hey, you know, at the end of the day, the independent review panel can say whatever they want to say, but the board at the end of the day has a fiduciary responsibility under California law, and they're the ones that are holding the bag, and they're going to make a decision in the context of that law and that fiduciary responsibility. So let's say we had a situation where some proposed review mechanism had binding arbitration, right? I think under what we heard in Marina Del Rey, they couldn't accept it.
Well, that's not true, Warren. That's not true. The accountability, sorry, the affirmation. No, hang on. I'll get this right in a minute. The contracts or exchange of letters between CCTLDs and ICANN. Some of those have reference to binding arbitration, and those have been signed by ICANN. So. So clearly there are occasions where they can do that.
That's fascinating, right? Because unless I'm misremembering, I think we heard pretty clearly from ICANN General Counsel that, you know, they have, as Larry pointed out, a legal constraint based on California law.
That is indeed what we were led to be believed.
Well, wait a second, guys. The fact that they may do binding arbitration on the issuance of TLDs does not answer this question totally. So, anyway, why don't you let me take it and take a look at it, and I'll report back.
No, that's great. Okay, and we'll sort of add that into the documentation, but I think that's excellent. All right, anybody have anything else?
Are we going to take ongoing input from community during our work processes as a work group?
Well, I don't think we reject, if additional input comes in, I don't think we're going to reject acceptance, right? I mean,
sure.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a difference between saying there's a, you know, a line drawn, and if there is comments coming in, we will, you know, make what we can of them. But I just think we need to be upfront about that, because if community is looking at what we're doing, and I think this particular team, you know, has got a topic that community will be very keen to look at what we're doing and where we're heading as we do it, they may put forward something, and I think it would be useful for us to be in a position to accept and make what use we as a group feel fit of it. But
well,
without having to go back to some sort of, you know, full team and debate as to whether or not it's admissible or not.
I think you've raised a good point, Cheryl, this is Brian, because we didn't set a close date when we put out the comments in the multilingual context. Mm-hmm. We left it open. But you've raised a practical question, because if a comment is to be considered and potentially integrated into our draft recommendations that will go out for public comment in mid-October, as a practical matter, we're going to have that in our hands, you know, mid-September, roughly at the latest, to really be able to integrate it into the evolving work. And that thought was on my mind when I drafted the announcement for the appointment of Berkman, and it's something we need to communicate to the community. There will be an opportunity, obviously, for the community to provide public comment in response to the draft recommendations that go out in mid-October. There's nothing lost there in terms of opportunity. But up until that point, I think it is incumbent on us to communicate to the community. There's a practical kind of end date in terms of things that can be considered going into mid-October.
Sure, Brian, but we also need to realize that often community need a primer to respond to, and it's the work of the work teams that may provide that primer. So we can only do what we can do, providing we have agreed that we are willing to leave the door open for input.
This is Louis. I'm thinking that if we end up receiving input after a time frame where we can incorporate that information, perhaps we can have some kind of addendum in the report, in the final report, saying these are the comments. Mm-hmm. That way they can be carried forward,
yep,
as a reference to the next time
mm-hmm.
it's done.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that actually makes sense.
Mm. And it goes to valuing community input and community engagement.
Yeah, I like that idea. That way, you know, if we pass a certain point, that at least we've documented and kept the record of the continuing commentary.
Yeah. Maybe that can be something that can come in, Brian, while you're setting the agenda for our next ATRT meeting, that as a result of this work group's deliberations, it might be a recommendation for all of the work groups to look at.
Good idea. Thank you.
Anybody have any WG4 additional commentary? All right, I wanted to ask one ATRT question. I apologize if you know, I'm doing this before we have a full ATRT meeting. I wasn't able to be on the last call, and while I was briefed, I just want to make sure. I don't think I've seen anything that indicated any lock and load dates around a pre-Cartagena meeting. And I was wondering, Brian, are we closer to nailing down a time frame for that? Are we going to be there in a pre-ICANN meeting, a capacity, et cetera?
You mean for Cartagena itself?
Yeah, for Cartagena itself. I mean,
there was nothing definitive
pre or post, right?
Yes, there was nothing definitive, but the proposal that was on the table, which is in the hands of Peter, is that we meet with the board on the first Sunday, and that we structure our meetings around that day. So if we met before, it would be Sunday morning as a team, Sunday afternoon with the board, or Sunday morning with the board, Saturday afternoon with the team. But the request was to Peter, can you get us in front of the board on Sunday? I don't have that date in front of me.
Right, right. Okay.
And then there could be the possibility for a debrief meeting with the team after meeting with the board. And then the other envisioned activity would be a meeting with the community where we would put out the near final recommendations to the community publicly, could do an open mic and take some input, of course. That likely wouldn't happen until the Wednesday. I'd see if we could get it structured for the Monday or the Tuesday so it's close to the board meeting. But those two meetings are envisioned with review team rump meetings around the board meeting.
So we're really saying we're the sort of day before the official opening of ICANN.
Yes.
Okay. I just bring it up because some of us have, you know, just travel and housekeeping stuff that we have to deal with, right?
Not a problem. And you weren't on the call, but that's my recollection. That's what's on the table, and Peter has been asked if he can arrange for that meeting with the board.
Okay. Well, I won't hold anybody for any more digging into that. So James and I have a deliverable for the group in terms of the work structure. We'll also add additional commentary to the framework as an appendix in terms of the community input. We'll note that we're having Larry. Larry's looking at legal issues and limitations within California law. And I think we'll put out a small summary of this discussion as well.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for a great
conversation.
Sorry, do you want to set a future meeting for this group or not?
Can we do that on the list, show?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it on the list. I mean, I know everybody's busy, so I'm sure people are going to want to participate primarily via email in between ATRT calls, but certainly via the list we can do it and set up another doodle.
Okay.
Before we disband, I want to make one point here. And I sent out an email to the entire review team, so I have no problem raising it here. If anybody has edits to suggest to Olaf summary, please do so. I asked for them by a close of business Friday. That was aggressive. If you have anything, please send it to Olaf. Just so you know, and this I need to signal this to the entire review team, in talking to Berkman, one of the specific things they're going to do and deliver some preliminary thoughts on by Beijing is they're going to look at the preparation of summaries of comments. And they are specifically going to look at the summary for the accountability and review team comments, which is in process. They're going to specifically look at the expression of interest summary, which has been pointed to as by Peter in the board meeting in Brussels as being, you know, one of the very best examples of the comment summary done well. And they're going to pick randomly another summary done in the recent past to have a sample and provide inputs, but it is important. We have an opportunity here as review team. If we want to suggest edits to Olaf's version, please do so, and that will become part of our ongoing review of that aspect of 9.1.
All right. Okay, everybody, thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to speak to you all while it was still light in Phoenix.
Thanks, Warren.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Sean?
Yep, bye-bye. I'll stop the recording.
Yep, thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Bye.